Luke chapter 2. We'll finish up our series today about the songs of Christmas. We've been looking at, over the last few weeks, some different songs of praise that took place surrounding Christmas. And this morning we're going to look at the song that this man, Simeon, sings here in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, we'll read about this man, Simeon, and the song that he sang when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 2, 21, it says this, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Simeon sings this song this morning of Christmas and the cross. The song of Christmas and the cross. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to bless the preaching of His word. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we come before You this morning, Lord. And just a few moments ago, Lord, we rehearsed the goodness that You've shown to us this year. We've shared, Lord, the goodness that You've shown each of us in our own lives, Lord, Your faithfulness. And we've taken some time this morning to praise Your name and just praise You, Lord, for how good You are and how great and wonderful You are. And Father, I pray this morning that You would meet with us in a real way. I pray, Father, that we would open our ears to hear and open our hearts to receive from Your word this morning. I pray, Father, that as we take a look at the words of Simeon this morning, Lord, that we would understand that Christmas leads to the cross, Lord. Lord, You can't have one without having the other. And I pray, Father, that You would just work in us, Lord, through the preaching of Your word. I pray, Father, that You would empower me to preach in a way that would honor and glorify Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that You would just speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's many rules about being in the ministry. The New Testament, Paul writes a lot about what it means to minister in the local church. There's also a number of unwritten rules about being in the ministry. One of the unwritten rules of the ministry is that as a pastor, you never go to visit the parents of a new baby in the hospital without taking your wife. That's one of the unwritten rules of the ministry. You always take your wife when you go to see a new baby in the hospital. And the reason is because men don't really know what to say when they see a newborn baby. Men have no idea what to say. So men say funny things and silly things like this. They say, like, look at all that hair, you know, or they say things like, wow, that's a big baby. You know, that makes the mom feel really good. Wow, that's a big baby. It looks like he's ready to play rugby already, you know, or something like that. Or who does this baby look like? Babies are so small, you don't know who they look, who they're going to look like when they grow up. But men say silly things, and ladies are much better at going and saying pertinent things about a newborn baby. They understand it much better. However, the man we see in this passage knew exactly what to say when he saw this baby. This man didn't make any silly comments. This man didn't say any funny things. This man, Simeon, when he saw Jesus Christ, Jesus at this point was only about a month old. When he saw this baby, he didn't say anything silly. He knew exactly what he was meant to say. He knew exactly what he was supposed to say. The strange thing is, we don't have any indication in the scriptures that Simeon knew Joseph or Mary. We don't have any indication in the scriptures that he had any kind of relationship with them. And yet when he was in the temple that day and he saw them carrying this baby through, he instinctively knew who that baby was and what the purpose of that baby was. Simeon walked straight up to this unknown couple and took the baby in his arms and spoke some heartfelt and divinely inspired words. That's kind of difficult as a new parent when some stranger walks up and takes your baby away from you. That's not really a comfortable feeling. But that's exactly what Simeon did. He walked up, he took the baby in his arms, and then he began to speak words inspired by the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us that Simeon had been led by the Spirit to go to the temple, and the words that he spoke were inspired by the Spirit. Simeon's song of praise makes it clear that Jesus would be the light of the whole world, but that light would come at a cost. Jesus Christ would be the light of the whole world, but that light would come at a very high price. This morning, let's examine what the Bible says here about Simeon and his song. What the Bible says about Simeon and his song. Go back to verses 25 to 27 here. The first thing we see about Simeon is this. Simeon was a godly man. Simeon was a godly man. Verse 25 says this, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God." Now, the first thing we see about Simeon here is that Simeon was a godly man. Luke records this interaction between Simeon and Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and Simeon is a godly man. Luke tells us that he is just and devout. Now, this word just does not mean that Simeon was fair in the way that he treated other people. That's not what the word just here means. It's not talking about his just dealings or the way he treated other people or worked in business. That's not what the connotation is here. The word just here means righteous. He is a righteous man. He was righteous in the sight of God. Okay? It was not a righteousness of his own works. It wasn't that he did good works and so people looked at him like he was a righteous person. No, he was righteous in the sight of God. His righteousness is a righteousness that came from the Lord. It's the same righteousness that if you're born again that you have and that I have. The Bible tells us this about Abraham. It says he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And it's the same way with us. When we believe God, when we submit ourselves to the Bible, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, it is counted unto us for righteousness. And this man Simeon, he believed God, he took God at his word, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But not only was Simeon righteous, not only was he just, the Bible says, but he was also, the Bible says, devout in verse 25. It says he was a man who was just and devout. He was a man who had a healthy fear of the Lord, and he sought to live his life in a way that would please the Lord and bring honor to his Lord. That's what the word devout means. Devout might simply mean, today we might simply say this, I try to live my life according to the scriptures. I try to live according to the Bible. That's what the word devout would mean, meaning I have a respect for the Lord and I try to live my life in a way that would please him. I try to be obedient to the Lord. That's what devout means. It doesn't mean that I'm at every church service and that's where I find my righteousness or that's where I find my goodness. Devout doesn't mean that. Devout means I'm trying to live my life in a way that pleases the Lord according to the scriptures. And so we see that Simeon was a just man. We see that Simeon was a devout man. But then we also see this, that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, the word consolation means comfort. He was waiting for the comfort of Israel. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And in the Old Testament, the Messiah was often referred to as a comforter. He was referred to as a comforter. And so what this is saying here is that Simeon was looking for the Messiah. Simeon believed, just as God had said in the Old Testament, that he would send a deliverer that would take care of the sins of mankind and that would deliver the nation of Israel. And Simeon believed God and took God at his word. That's why it was counted to him for righteousness, because he believed those things that God had said. And so he was looking for the Messiah. As believers today, you and I, we look back to the Messiah. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the Messiah. We're all saved by faith. And we are all saved, Old Testament and New Testament, by putting our faith in the same place. Okay? In the promises of God's word. Go to Isaiah chapter 61. I want us to see this morning a couple places where it talks about the Messiah being the comforter or the consolation. Okay? When it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, it's talking about he was waiting for the Messiah to come. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, this is not speaking, Isaiah is not speaking of himself here. Isaiah is speaking of the coming Messiah, okay? Speaking of the Messiah here. It's first person from the point of view of the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And so we see throughout those three verses there, the common theme is that the Messiah would come as a comforter. He was coming to comfort people, to give them joy, to comfort all that mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He was coming to comfort the people, coming to console them. Go to Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13, speaking about the restoration of Israel. Jeremiah 13, verse 10, speaking about the Messiah coming as the restoration of Israel. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. I'm not sure this is the right passage. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord. Then they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. Therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. That is not the right passage. That is not the right passage. Apparently my fingers hit the wrong buttons whenever I was typing up the... No, I'll have to go back and look at my notes that I wrote down. But anyway... He's meant to be the consolation of Israel. He's meant to be the consolation of Israel. He came to comfort them and comfort them in their affliction. And so when we see that Luke uses this word, the consolation of Israel, he is speaking about the fact that Simeon was looking for the coming Messiah. And so we see that Simeon was a godly man. And not only was he just, and not only was he devout, and not only was he putting his faith in God's promises and the Word of God, but also the Holy Ghost was upon him. Luke tells us that the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, the Holy Ghost ministry in the Old Testament is much different than the Holy Ghost ministry today. Today, he works in the lives of believers, okay? And he worked in the lives of believers in the Old Testament as well. Just as today, in the Old Testament, he would guide them. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would convict them of sin. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would give them understanding of God's Word. But there's one key difference between the ministry of the Holy Spirit today and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The ministry of the Holy Spirit today is this: He dwells within you. He lives within you. He permanently, when you become a Christian, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He permanently comes to live within you. But in the Old Testament, He did not do that. Yes, he guided and he convicted, but there was not a permanent relationship with believers in the Old Testament. We see David asking God not to take the Holy Spirit from him. We see other people that the Holy Spirit would come and go upon their lives. And so we see that in the Old Testament. But this man Simeon had a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him here. The Holy Spirit had revealed something to him. Okay, the Holy Spirit had revealed truth to him and was directing him to the temple to see baby Jesus. And this man, Simeon, was sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. We talked about it last week when we talked about when the angel said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That word Christ is very important. That word Christ has very important meaning. That word Christ means Messiah. That he identifies Jesus as the Messiah. It is a title. It's like a title we might say, "He is the King. He is the Messiah." And so the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that, "Simeon, before you die, the Messiah is going to come. Before you die, the Messiah is going to come." Now think about what a great privilege that would have been to Simeon. For thousands of years, the world had been waiting for the Messiah to come. For thousands of years, the Jewish people had been waiting for the Messiah to come. And Simeon would personally see him with his own eyes. His ancestors had longed for this day. Probably his parents and grandparents had longed to see this day. And Simeon was going to see it. Simeon was going to see the Messiah with his own eyes. And so we see that Simeon was a godly man. He believed God. He trusted God's word and his promises, looking for the Messiah. And he was submitted to the Holy Spirit. He was directed by the Holy Spirit. But not only do we see that he's a godly man, but we see this also, that he had a grateful heart. He had a grateful heart. Go to verse 28. It says, "Then he took the child up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel.'" This man Simeon, he had a grateful heart. Through the leading of the Holy Spirit, when he was in the temple and he saw this young couple come in carrying this little baby, he instinctively knew that that was the one he was looking for. The Holy Spirit led him and made it clear to him that that was the baby. And we don't know how long time had passed between when the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would see this baby and when he actually got to see Jesus. Maybe it was a few days, maybe it was a few months, maybe it was a few years. But can you imagine what it would have been like to walk around thinking, "Well, maybe today is the day I'm going to see the Messiah. Maybe today is the day he's going to come." And that morning, that day, whenever it was, as Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus in, there was no doubt in his mind. And this is what he said:
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon knew that this was God's salvation sent to man. That's what he calls him here. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He knew that he was the salvation of man. Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would be the Christ. And so Simeon realizes that he is the salvation of mankind. He also knew this. He also knew that the Christ was not only for the salvation of the Jews, but he knew that the Christ was for all of the world. The Christ was for all of mankind. The Bible, the Old Testament, talks about it. If you go back in your Bible to Isaiah 42, it's really perplexing to see how the Jews looked at the Gentiles in the New Testament, how much they hated him, how much they hated them, how much they looked down upon them, when you consider that the Old Testament talks about the fact that the Messiah would also come to deliver the Gentiles. It just shows you how not right with God they were. They claim to be God. What did Jesus say? He says, you say with your lips that you're close to me, but your heart is very far from me. And that's exactly what was going on. They hated the Gentiles, but in actuality, the Bible teaches that God, when the Messiah came, that he would be both for the Jews and the Gentiles. Isaiah 42, verse 1 says this, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretch them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. It says there that the Messiah was going to be a light for the Gentiles. He was going to give judgment to the Gentiles. Not that he was going to judge the Gentiles, but that he was going to give judgment to them. He was going to give them the word of God. He's going to give them the principles of God's word. And so we see that the Messiah was also for the salvation of the Gentiles. Go to Isaiah chapter 60. We were in 61 just a moment ago. Go to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60 says, arise, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. He says the Gentiles are going to come to the light. John talks about Jesus Christ being the light. And Gentiles come to the light, according to Isaiah chapter 60. And so when Simeon talks about here in Luke chapter 2, and when he says a light to lighten the Gentiles, he's not just making it up. It's something that all of Israel should have known. It's something that those Pharisees and those Sadducees should have understood. Instead of hating the Gentiles, instead of looking later in the Jesus ministry, instead of looking down upon him because he sometimes associated with Gentiles, they should have understood that the Messiah would come not for just the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And so Simeon wasn't just making this up when he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. All people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Simeon knew that this baby was God's means of blessing the whole world. God's means of blessing the whole world. And how was he going to do it? Through the Jewish nation. And he says this, and he is the glory of thy people, Israel. It is the glory of the nation of Israel that they are the means by which God has blessed the whole earth. It is to their glory that God has chosen them to be the means of conveying the blessing to the whole world. And that's what he says here in verse number 32. The glory of thy people Israel. We've already seen it that back in the book of Genesis, God told Abraham, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And as this baby is the Savior of the world and comes from the nation of Israel, Simeon is saying he is the glory of the people of Israel because he is the one that will be the blessing to all the world. It's a privilege for the nation of Israel to be the source of God's blessing. And that's what he's talking about here when he says he is the glory of Israel. And knowing all of this, knowing that this baby was the means of salvation to the world, Simeon says back at the beginning, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. The Holy Spirit had said to him, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. You will live until the Messiah comes. And Simeon says, Lord, I've seen it. I'm ready to come home. I've seen it. I'm ready to go. Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I've seen what I've been longing for. I've been longing for the consolation of Israel, and I have seen it. And Lord, now, according to your word, I am ready to depart. Simeon is basically saying, I am ready to die. I'm ready to go to be with the Lord. He had seen God's consolation come to Israel. His life had been fulfilled, and now he was content to die. Simeon had a grateful heart for what God had allowed him to witness. And so we see that he was a godly man. We see that he had a grateful heart. But then we see that Simeon also shared a grievous prophecy. A grievous prophecy. Simeon, in his last words, turns and speaks to Mary. And he says this, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He turns his attention from this baby that he's been holding in his arms and these proclamations he's been making about this baby being the light of the world and the light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. And he turns to Mary and he begins to give her this difficult prophecy. Jesus was only about a month old at this point. They had to come at the when the baby was 40 days old, they had to come and present him to the Lord and give this offering. And so Jesus was 40 days old at this point, just barely over a month old. And the joy of having a newborn baby still would have been very strong and still would have filled Mary's heart. And Simeon turns to her and takes us directly from Christmas to the cross. He takes us directly from the joy of Christmas and the joy of a newborn baby and takes us directly to the cross. Simeon foretold that this child is set to be the fall and rising again of many in Israel. It's not really clear what this means. People have different ideas about what this means. But if we know one thing, he's speaking about the same group of people here. What does he say? This child is set for the fall and rising again of many. He's speaking of one group. He's not speaking of the fall of some and the rising of others. He's speaking of the fall and the rising again. He's speaking of one group of people here. The word rising is a word which means resurrection or being raised to life again or being risen from the dead. That's what this word rising means. It seems to me that Simeon is speaking of salvation, that through the ministry of Jesus Christ, people are going to come under conviction. They're going to see that they do not measure up to in God's sight. They're going to see who they really are in God's sight, and they're going to fall under conviction. They're going to come to repentance, and then they will rise again in new life through faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that's what Simeon's speaking about here. He's speaking about Jesus Christ bringing salvation, the fall and rising again. Many, many people got saved. Many, many people trusted Christ during his ministry. Many people fell under conviction and were born again and saved in his ministry, the fall and rising again of many. But then he says this, that's the good news. But then he says this, he'll be a sign spoken against. He'll be a sign spoken against. Galatians 3:13, Paul writes and says this, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And that really is just a restatement of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23, where in the Mosaic law it is written that any person who's hanged on a tree is cursed of God. I mean, that's not just a saying. That's not just a cultural idea. That is enshrined in the Mosaic law. And Paul tells us that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And specifically, he's speaking about the fact that Jesus Christ was cursed for us. And Simeon tells her here that he will be a sign which is spoken against. And that's what it's talking about here. That he will be seen as cursed. The fact that he was hung on a tree would be repulsive to the Jewish people. How could our Messiah be hung upon a tree? And as a result, many would use that to mock him and to scorn him. You think about the crucifixion day when Jesus hung there on the cross. The Bible tells us that people came and just flung insult after insult after insult to him. John and Mary had been standing there. The disciple John and Mary, the mother of Jesus, had been standing there at the foot of the cross. And the Bible tells us that they had to move away from the cross because the contention was too much. Because there was so much insult going on. People spoke against him 2,000 years ago. And people still speak against it today. People still speak against him today. It's still a sign that is spoken against. And then he tells Mary this. He says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. It's going to be a difficult time for you. It's going to be like a sword piercing through your own heart also. For Mary, much of Christ's ministry is very difficult for her. She was a mother. She had given birth to him. She had nurtured him as an infant. She had cared for him. She had taken care of him his whole life. She had fed him when he was a baby. She had bound up his wounds when he fell and scraped his knee. All the things that kids go through. And yet when his ministry began, Jesus broke that mother-son relationship. Jesus refused to recognize his authority over her. When he was 12 years old, they lost him one day in Jerusalem. And they found him speaking in the temple. And she says, don't you know that Joseph and I were looking for you? And what did he tell her? He said, wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? Don't you know I have to be about my father's business? It's not about you, Mom. I have to be about my father's business, he tells her. Later in the book of Matthew, her and some of his brothers came to visit him in his ministry. Jesus was preaching and teaching the people. And they said to him, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here to see you. And he said this, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? I don't know them. They have no authority over me. That's what he was trying to say. And Simeon tells Mary here, he says, Mary, he says, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. His ministry is going to be a difficult time for you. And then lastly, he says that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. John chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. He says this, and this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Jesus came and Jesus taught the truth, and they didn't want to hear it. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't want to hear it. They turned their back on it. Instead of accepting the truth of the Word of God, they rejected the Son of God. And Simeon says that his ministry is going to reveal the thoughts and the hearts of many. And that's what the ministry of Jesus Christ was about. And so Simeon gives us this grievous prophecy. We see he's a godly man. We see that he has a grateful heart. He is so thankful that the Lord has allowed him to see the Messiah. But then we see that he gives this grievous prophecy of what's going to happen in the future of Jesus' ministry. Simeon's song of praise made it clear that Jesus would be the light of the whole world, but that light would come at a cost. Simeon carried a message that most people today would not recognize as part of the Christmas message. If we go out to Sutton High Street and we take a microphone and we say, can you tell me what's Christmas all about? Most people would say it's about the lights and the tree and the presents and time with family and time off of work and time to relax and time to go to parties and time to be with those you love. Most people would completely not understand what Simeon is talking about here. It would be completely alien to their Christmas story, what Simeon is talking about here. Simeon carried a message that people would not recognize today as part of Christmas. It may sound strange that a song of praise associated with baby Jesus would include these dark prophecies about his future. But the truth is that you cannot disassociate the baby in the manger from the man upon the cross. And that's what our world tries to do. They're very happy to celebrate the baby in the manger at Christmas time. They want to have nothing to do with the man upon the cross. And you cannot separate the two, because that's the whole purpose for his coming. When he came as the baby in the manger, he didn't come to stay the baby in the manger. He came to be the man to go to the cross. You cannot disassociate them. The Bible tells us, Jesus in his own words says, he came to give his life a ransom for many. He says he came to be the light of the world. The angel told his stepfather Joseph that he came to save his people from their sins. And it came at a great cost to him. He had to lay down his life. And it came as a great cost to those who loved him. The salvation that God offers to us through his son is free. Listen, there is nothing that you or I have to pay in order to be saved. If anybody tells you, you have to do this and this and this in order to be saved, it's a lie. The only thing you have to do is believe in the promises of God. Believe that Jesus Christ came, went to the cross, and died for your sin, and you put your faith and trust in him. And the book of Romans tells us that believing is not a work. It's not a work. So there's nothing that you have to do. There's nothing you have to pay in order to be a Christian. It costs us nothing. But it costs Jesus very dear. It was not free for him. He paid the price for us all. Simeon's message is that it would be very dear. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it may seem strange to you to associate Jesus, the baby, with the cross. If you're here today and I ask you the question, if you died today and you stood before God, would he let you into heaven? If you don't know the answer to be for sure yes, then it's likely you're not born again. Sometimes you ask people, if you died today, what do you think the likelihood that God would let you into heaven? Would it be maybe 25%, 50%? 100%, what's the likelihood that God would let you in? If you say today, if your answer is not 100%, then you're probably not born again. And you probably don't understand all this talk about the baby and the cross. It makes no sense. Why would we compare Jesus, the baby, and talk about him going to the cross? But the truth of the matter is that you will never understand the true heart of Christmas until you grasp the meaning of the cross. All the joy and celebration of Christmas without accepting the work of Christ on the cross is fruitless. We can have all the joy and all the fun associated with Christmas, but unless we understand the real purpose, it's just fruitless. It serves no real eternal purpose. The fact is this: Jesus Christ came as that baby and lived a perfect sinless life and went to the cross to pay for your sin and for my sin. Because my sin, whether it was a small sin, whether it was a big sin, my sin separated me from God. And Jesus Christ came to bridge that gap. And his blood covers my sin. Because I ask him to be my Savior. That's the point at which the blood is applied to your life. It's not a blanket get out of jail free card for everybody. It's only when you submit to it and ask for it that God applies it to your account. If you're here today and you are a Christian, Consider this man Simeon. He was just. He was devout. He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He was obedient to the Holy Spirit. If God had given you the opportunity to identify the Savior, would you have been up for the task? God basically told Simeon, you're not going to die until you've seen the Savior. He gave Simeon the one to identify Jesus Christ. He is the one. And if God had given you the same opportunity, would you be up for the task? Would I be up for the task? Would I be considered just and devout? Would Luke be able to describe me in the same terms he describes in Simeon? He describes Simeon as. Needless to say, all of us probably have a little room for improvement in 2018 in these spiritual areas. I don't know that I can't measure up to Simeon. There's some areas I need to improve in my life. Would God consider, would Luke consider me just and devout and sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit? We see in this passage the song of Christmas, the final song of Christmas, from Christmas to the cross. We see Simeon was a godly man. We see Simeon had a grateful heart, but we see he carried a grievous prophecy. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless the time we've had. Dear Lord, Lord, we do love you, and Lord, we do thank you for the time that we've had. Lord, we thank you for the example of this man, Simeon.